Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Can you see it? Did you know?
Checked, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice, Adams leaves the puck.
To the line, Hughes scores!
Yes, existence, take you to the sun.
First career NHL goal, Quinn Hughes makes it 1-0.
You're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes beat reporter here. Like, I won't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down Wednesday.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What a high.
Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Public display. Is that what you need?
They slayed the dragon.
Yes, existence, existence.
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation Outdoors Edition. Chris, outdoors at Montana's Barbecue and Grill in the beautiful town of Tawasin.
Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous out here. Beautiful day to be outside. It's not the heat wave that we had before, and it's on location, Quads. Canucks combo on location here at the Montana's. We just crushed a bunch of ribs. Do you want to do your, get your Zephyr and stuff out
well,
of the
way? Well, yeah, and I'm going to say, we've got a camera going, so people today get to see what I look like, because you talk about the hands and how I use my hands when I talk. People get to see what it looks like when I do this intro.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe we'll just post this intro for a video. People like to see that, no?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Well.
We'll do it. Do your thing.
Let me just straighten up my tie here. Hello, Canucks fans. Welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. You can use promo code HOCKEYSEASON, capital H, capital S, all one word, hockey season. That will get you $5 off your order at ZephyrEpic.com, Z-E-P-H-Y-R, Epic, on all platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, what have you. Go check them out, Zephyr Epic. They've got you covered with all of your trading card needs, so go check them out. They've also got a retail location in Surrey that you can check out. And like I said, you can use the promo code in person if you want. Promo code HOCKEYSEASON at ZephyrEpic.com. The best part about Zephyr Epic is they have got you covered. Free shipping on any order in Canada, on any order over $50. From
Coombs. You know what Coombs is famous for?
No.
Goats on the Roof. They got Goats on the Roof in Coombs.
I did know this, actually. From, okay, sorry. Sorry to cut you off. Where is Coombs?
It's on the island.
Okay.
It's on your way up to Port Alberni. You make a quick stop, you get some fudge, and you see the Goats on the Roof.
Have I been to Coombs? Okay, sorry. Go on.
From Coombs to Coots, which is in Alberta. And the reason I chose Coots, Alberta, is that it is a neighboring city to the state of Montana quads, because we're here at a Montana's. Wanted to bring up Coots. It's also like a half and half city. Like half the city's Coots. It's in Canada. The other half, Sweetgrass, Montana. So they kind of got the short end of the stick on having a good city name.
They've got the Lloydminster thing going on.
Yeah, they do.
But it's not Coots, Montana. It's Sweet River.
Yeah, Sweet River, Montana, which sounds a lot better than Coots, Alberta. So go check it out. Go to Coots if you want. The population, there's not a lot of information on this. I just said it's like the one of the most south cities in Alberta on the border of Montana. But the population has been steadily declining. Hard.
Okay,
people are moving away from Coots. There's only about 200 people living there now. Back in 1996, place was booming. 386 people were living there in 1996.
That's booming?
Well, it was. Now it's been down. You know, I'm looking at the four-year census that they do. 2001, you're down 5%. 2006, you're down another 16%. 2016, you're down another 11%. I couldn't imagine. They didn't even do one in 2020.
Too sad.
Yeah, Coots, everybody
couldn't find anybody to do it.
Well, that's the problem. There's probably 40,000 people in Sweetgrass, Montana. That's the problem. Everyone wants to be in Sweetgrass instead of Coots.
Everybody wants to be in Montana's, like us. We're at Montana's.
Exactly. We're in Montana's right now. It's crushing up the ribs.
So we had the all-you-can-eat ribs, and don't forget, folks, the summer all-you-can-eat ribs event is on all summer long. All-you-can-eat ribs at Montana's. Go find a location. You'll hear the ad halfway through the episode, but we're at the Tawasin location, living it up on this beautiful patio here.
You know the easy way to spell Tawasin?
Sure, tell me.
Saw was sent, and then you take the T off the end, you move it to the start.
Saw was sent?
Yeah, like let's say you're a filer at a mill, and you're like, oh yeah, the saw was sent to the right part of the mill. And then you just take the T at the end, you put it at the start. Sawasin. That's how you spell it.
Is it pronounced Sawasin?
That's how I say it, yeah.
I think it actually is pronounced like that.
I don't think it's a hard T.
No, I don't think it's Tawasin. A Tawasin like everybody says. No. Like I said on this episode.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Okay.
Anyways, we're here in Montana's. Crush the apple butter ribs. Tell you what. Yeah, I know it's the rib season. All you can eat ribs. Ribs are great. They were excellent, but...
That spinach dip.
The spinach dip was excellent. Half pita, half nachos?
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, I think so. That was excellent.
Delicious. It was absolutely delicious.
And so what's the... You're sipping on... As I said, by the end of the episode, you're going to be slurring your words. You're sipping on the... some sort of honey Long Island iced tea here.
Yeah, it's got Captain Morgan and then iced tea, I think, and they've got something else in there, too.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Good little mix for you. Yeah. We'll see how you are at the end. You're not driving after this one.
Nope,
I'm back.
Not. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
I'm on my lemonades. They kept them fresh, too. I got a fresh one just given to me right now. Shout out to this Montana's.
Oh, it's
service has been excellent.
Yeah, fantastic at the Tawasin Montana's. Beautiful
Manager
location.
Ramen, he's been great to us, too.
Beautiful location as well, we might add. But we got to get to DoorDash, sure. We're also delivered, on top of being presented by Zephyr Epic, we're also delivered by the great folks at DoorDash.
Ding dong.
Oh, almost forgot. Tawasin's.
Well, because I'm at a restaurant. It's hard to remember DoorDash delivery. I'm here. I just had my food delivered to the table.
That's fair. With DoorDash, you can use promo code CONVODD, capital C, capital D's, all one word, CONVODD. That will get you 25% off and free delivery on your first order with the DoorDash app. Does not get much better than that, folks. My name is Dave Quadrelli, joined as always by the man who built the place. Like I said a few times already, on this beautiful patio at Montana's Barbecue and Grill in Sawasin.
Now, that DoorDash deal does get better than that, though. You get 15% off with us, but you go on there right now. They got it's a summer of DoorDash. It changes every week. This week, you go on there, you order McDonald's, 50% off. What are we even doing here with this Convo DD thing? It's great for first time users. I'm just saying, you go on there, you don't even need a promo code. It's just 50% off your first order of McDonald's. What?
Okay,
why are we getting 15%
from
DoorDash?
So let me explain to you. It's 25%.
25, whatever.
That's our Atlas Goods promo.
Yeah, this is why I don't do the promos. I get everything mixed up.
Yeah, you get everything
here.
Mixed up. And 15% off Pop Rinds is a great deal, by the way, which we will add when we talk about our Atlas Goods poll question. But to answer your question, Chris, I've explained this to you. I don't know how many times you use the promo code CONVODD if you're a first-time user. Okay, you get your 15% off. Then you get McDonald's whenever you want after that.
Oh, okay.
And you still get 50. So I'm telling you, if you've got if it's your first time, you'd be foolish to waste it on that McDonald's promo.
Okay, yeah,
absolutely,
I see what you're saying.
Foolish.
Yeah, go ahead, spend it up. Go to Burger King or something. Montana's maybe. Order some ribs.
Absolutely. And all you can eat ribs. All you can eat ribs. I think you got to come in store for that. I don't think you gotta take your word for it.
Yeah, okay.
I'll take three.
All right, this is a long one here. I know we're on location, we're a little, people are looking at us.
Yeah,
people are staring at us, they're eating ribs, drinking beers.
sipping lemonade.
We're doing a podcast.
Yeah, we're just doing a podcast. People are a little confused what's going on here, but we're here at Montana's outdoor on the patio. It's a good little setup we got going. But Chris, we actually have to get into some hockey talk because a couple news items actually come down. Recording this Wednesday afternoon, a couple news items came down Tuesday morning, late Tuesday morning from general manager Patrick Alvin. The first one, again, kind of minor, but the Canucks replacing their human performance staff. Not going to spend too much time on this, obviously, but I wrote about it, and it was funny because the Canucks in their press release just basically said their names of what the people that got hired do. So I did a little digging, and I found out all of their backgrounds. And it's really interesting because all of these people have various backgrounds in pro sports. Again, like I wrote about it in the article I did for Canucks Army, but Dr. Harry Cece, I hope I'm not mispronouncing that, is a health and performance consultant for the Canucks now. But before that, he went by at the golfing doc on Instagram, and he has a background in, you guessed it, golf.
Okay.
You know, he's not only a golf, like, rehab person, like, helping golfers with injuries. He, like, trains and helps people with their swing on the PGA Tour. Like, this guy's legit when it comes to golfing. And again, like, I said this, but it's going to be really difficult for me and maybe you next season to see this guy walking around and not ask him for tips. Like,
well, you
just
need,
like, pull him aside and say, hey man, how do I putt?
I don't know if he's worried about, like, if he's a doctor of, like, making sure your swing's not bad for your back, whatever. That's not the help you need. Yeah. Maybe we got to see how his putting game is. Cause that's what you need help with big time.
He's done this for 11 years. I'm pretty sure he knows how to putt.
Yeah. But I've seen you have an 8-foot putt and you've putted off the green before.
Hey, man, don't bring this up right now.
Most of the greens we play are pretty flat. They're pitch and putts. I don't know how you do it.
You should see me at mini golf.
I think you might be a left-handed putter and you don't even know it.
Need to switch
next
hands.
Time, you can use my putter next time.
Does anybody ever switch? That's not a thing.
They, like, switch the hands. Like, have you seen the backhand? A lot of people putt backhanded.
Oh, yeah, you know what? A lot of the putters I've seen, the blade putters are, like, you know, ambidextrous. You could use each side.
No, those are the mini putters that you're talking about. Those aren't real putters, Quads.
No, there's real putters like that. Huh. You know that, right?
Sure.
I think there is, at least, unless you're right.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to take putting tips from you. If they saw how you putt, it is, yeah.
Can I get to the rest of the names, please?
Sorry, go ahead.
Yes. Okay. So, Josh.
Do you think they're, you know, all the guys in the Canucks organization can ask for little golfing tips? Like, just a little, you know, a little something here.
Okay, I'll share a little story. I texted somebody.
Okay.
Within the Canucks. And I know he golfs, which is why I said, how hard is it going to be for you not to ask him? He's like, yeah, very. Like, it's going to be very hard not to ask him.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay. So, Josh Termier serves the head athletic therapist, of the Canadian Football League's Calgary Stampeders for over 6 years, club's assistant athletic therapist for the 2 years prior to that. And again, he's been brought on to the Canucks as well, and he's going to be serving as an athletic therapist. Dr. Eric Ewell, I think is what his name is, performance therapist for the Canucks now, team chiropractor for the Vancouver Whitecaps of the MLS, and then obviously the Aquilini-owned Vancouver Warriors, and he's worked with athletes from the NBA, NHL, CFL, and MLB as well. And I'll tell you something about Dr. Eric Ewell, former national-level competitive swimmer.
Oh, I thought you were going to say golfer again. I'm like, what are they doing? Just assembling an all-golf team here?
Maybe he could teach me how to swim.
Yeah, they're just taking
they're just
down.
Just assembling, like, a staff that can teach me how to do a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
that I don't
so
know
that the
do.
Next time the general managers are down in Florida and they're all playing golf all weekend instead of going to the meetings, they're going to, like, Patrick Alvin is just going to be next level.
Well, I think Patrick Johnson was the one that tweeted this out. But when we went back into the media room for the first time, after media weren't allowed in the room when COVID was getting bad during the last season, we weren't allowed in the media room. We went back to Zoom, which sucked. But anyway, we went back in the room, and Patrick Alvin had set up a putting mat.
That's right.
In the media room. And and it wasn't gone when we showed up back. Like, when we got back, it was still there, which was very funny. So, you know what? I'm curious now, because they're upgrading that media room. Like, Jim Rutherford has said this is a focus. Did he maybe get that from Alvin, who was like, hey, man, like, I'm putting and it's uneven here. This isn't a good media room.
Oh, maybe they'll just keep it. Or, like, they'll have, like, a permanent putting
room. Patrick Alvin putting room.
There's, like, a little chipping area. Like, we all just waiting for Boudreaux to come out. Yeah. And Canucks just lost 7-3, and we're all just sitting at the putting greens.
Jeez.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome, but I have a feeling that that won't happen. So, Canucks make those three hires. All of those
people. Can you tell it's the off season? Holy cow! Look at what we're talking about here.
Yeah. So the Iron New Athletic therapist. I just thought it was cool that he had they all had various backgrounds. Like that, I don't know. That's just cool to me. It's something of note. It's nothing important, but it's something to note. Now, right. Something important.
It is,
Chris.
Some news. Yeah, I know what you're
something
about to do.
Something to
here.
Note.
Here we go.
You can start eating some ribs. We got ribs in front of us. It's time for goalie talk.
Oh yeah, he shouldn't have done that public knowledge. That's a big no-no. I don't know. You know, I can't really give the time and date, or else I feel like Nona's shoe will be flying across North America right and hit me in the head.
I think we spent half an hour talking about a backup goaltender.
All right, get out of here, Woodley.
All right.
Favor's going to be very pissed. So, you know, I don't like to say bad things about goaltenders. That's right. That's right, folks. It's time for goalie talk. And the Canucks have hired, Chris, I put this in the headline of the article I wrote for Canucks Army, because of course I did, one of Igor Shesterkin, ever heard of him, his old goaltending coach from the KHL with St. Petersburg, SKA, as we call them, his old goalie coach, Marco Terenius, has joined the Abbotsford Canucks. He's really, I don't like saying he's joined the Abbotsford Canucks, Chris, because he's joined the Vancouver Canucks. He's part of this team's development staff. He's going to not only help the goaltenders out in Abbotsford, he's going to have a hand in all the prospects. He's going to be a sounding board for the guys down in Abbotsford. His job is going to be more than just hit the ice for morning skates and practices with the goaltenders down in Abbotsford. His job is going to be as a development guy. Like, he's going to do a lot for this organization, and I've gotten asked this about Marco, just about, you know, is this an Ian Clark hire? Is this somebody that, you know, Ian Clark approves of? And without delving into it too much, all I'll say is that this is someone Clark has a pre-existing relationship with. Ian arranged for Aku Koskenvo to skate with Terenius in Finland, because Aku and Marco are both Finnish. He arranged for them to skate together before Canucks development camp. This is before Ian had ever met Aku in person. He's just very well connected overseas, like we've heard, and this is one of those connections overseas that we've heard so much about. Marco Terenius joins the Vancouver Canucks, has a pre-existing relationship with Ian Clark, joins the organization, and again, like, I've heard this guy talk, had a really good interview on In Goal Radio. Shout out Kevin Woodley. I know you'll love that. They had a really good interview with Marco, and basically what I took from that is that he understands a lot of the philosophies that you'll hear Ian Clark talk about, and he understands them well. And he understands the process of not overcoaching, which is something that Ian really tries to focus on, and how, you know, he always says, I tell the goaltenders all the time, no matter what level you're at, you are your best goalie coach. You're your own best goalie coach. And you can't rely on just your goaltending coach. You know your body. You know your capabilities. You know what works best for you. And you can have these things pointed out to you. But it's up to you to apply them and to apply them effectively. And I think that's something Marco understands and is something he's going to bring to the organization.
So how is he going to turn the Hockey Hall of Famer, future Hockey Hall of Famer, Archer Seelovs? I'm curious because, listen, Curtis Sanford, I think, did an excellent job at doing things under this position that, yeah, it's called a goaltending coach to a certain degree, but it felt like, you know, you've talked about this, that he was one of the guys who highlighted Spencer Martin and wanted that to be a player that they targeted and were able to trade literally for nothing to acquire a guy like Spencer Martin, who's now going to be the backup of the Vancouver Canucks next year. How different is it going to be moving on from Sanford? Because I feel like he did so much.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say not very. And I think the world of Curtis Sanford. I think he's an exceptional goaltending mind. I think he's a very good coach.
He's more of like a growing name in the hockey or in the goaltending world, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's only like 41 or something. He's super young. Or maybe that was just the number he wore. I think he's 45. But anyways, regardless, you know, he's a relatively young guy. You know, he's got young kids. He's like under 50. I'll say that. I know that for sure. But what I will say about Curtis is that he's getting his opportunity, and he's getting it with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, it's huge.
Right? That's a huge opportunity for him. Look, this is going to be a big task. If he can figure out, stay with me here, if he can figure out how to make Matt Murray, okay, and Ilya Samsonov, whatever, work together in tandem and give the Leafs, like, exceptional or even good goaltending, he's going to be revered, like, by Leafs fans, which means he's going to be revered by national media, obviously, because...
Oh, man, I can already feel it.
A lot of Leafs fans there.
I think Curtis Sanford's name is going to be talked about a lot. If he does well with this goaltending duo over there in Toronto, they're going to blow his name up. As the new goaltending coach coming in to run what's going on in Toronto, you're going to hear his name a lot more on on what's these Tim and Sid show, or Sid's whatever, Tim and Friends.
Tim and Friends.
You're going to hear him all over Tim and Friends.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, you're also going to hear it if it doesn't work out.
That's true, too.
And that's... To me, that's unfair.
Worth the risk for him, though.
It's almost like, do you remember the memes that were thrown around? I believe it was Mr. Booth. Shout out Mr. Booth, who listens to the podcast, but doesn't have a Twitter account anymore.
Rest in peace on Twitter. He's still alive.
He is still alive, yes. He is absolutely still alive.
You have communication with him here and there,
I do have, communication
with him. You got a source?
I have a sauce, yeah.
Yeah, keep up to him.
Yeah, I keep up with Mr. Booth. We're kind of tight.
Yep.
People keep, every time I tweet out a Mr. Booth update, I've stopped doing it. Sometimes he'll message me and say, hey, I want to put out a statement. I'll say, do it yourself. People keep thinking I'm Mr. Booth. Mm. I'm not clever enough to do that. Are you kidding me?
No, you don't know how to make a meme.
I know how to make memes. Come on.
No, you don't.
When's the last time
you've made a meme?
It's been a while.
Exactly.
But I know how. I could do it.
You didn't even understand the meme I put out the other day about Fall Guys. You completely missed that.
No, that was a joke because my name was in the meme. You missed my joke.
The joke I know is your meme game.
I'm too highbrow for Mr. Booth's humor.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't remember what I was talking about now.
Well, the pressure that's going to be on Sanford here.
Yeah, okay. So the meme basically was a compacted, like, broken car that had been put through a, what's it called, a compactor when they smash the cars? Yeah, like the thing from Monsters, Inc. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, so... It was a car that had been put through that, and then it was, Ian Clark, can you please fix this? Because people were like, oh, why couldn't Ian Clark get more out of Braden Holtby, who, by the way, is, you know, being forced into retirement because he's so banged up. But it's similar to that. If Curtis Sanford can't really figure out Matt Murray and Samsonov, again, in the first year with those guys, I think it's going to be tough. But also, I'm also not doubting, because, look, I get asked a lot, and I know Woodley's brought this up too, about what went wrong with Matt Murray, like cup champion, like all this stuff. What went wrong for him? And again, like Woodley's told us this before, and you can see it, is that like Murray didn't change his stance when the rest of the league changed his stance. And I know people are going to be crap because they don't like when I start talking about stances and post-integration, but it's true. You see goaltenders like Thatcher Demko go into a more vertical stance. Watch what Matt Murray does when the puck's being cycled up high. I'll give you a hint. It's not that. It's down low, locked in wide. And look, when you're 6'4", or whatever Murray is, I know he's tall. When you're 6'3", I think he is. When you're that tall... You should not be doing that. Like, Mikey DiPietro doesn't even do that. And maybe that's why he's having so much trouble, but still. My point stands that you need to adapt. When the league changes and the way teams create offense changes, right? Like, if you want to know how teams create offense, how different goaltending is, go watch highlights of the 2011 Cup Final. Well, maybe don't do that, but any game from 2011 or whatever, 2010, whatever, it doesn't matter. But... the main thing that I point out to people is, look how Roberto Luongo integrated to posts, right? It was not a reverse VH. It was a straight VH. Again, the lead leg is integrated to the post, and right now, you don't see a single goaltender in the league who does that. And even toward the end of his career, and again, Mike Smith is a good example of someone who adapted and changed as the league adapted as well, right? Even as that happened, you still saw Mike Smith making adjustments in his game, and that's something Smith doesn't get a ton of credit for, but he deserves a ton of credit for. He's a very good goaltender at adapting his game. You don't stick in the league that long. Luongo, that's another name of somebody who was very good at adapting to the changing league. And Matt Murray, I'm sorry, Matt Murray hasn't adapted. I know he's young. He's still got time. That's the thing, is he's still got time. I think if he buys into what Curtis is selling, assuming that Curtis is still going to sell similar things that he sold to Canucks goaltenders, I think you're gonna be looking at a decent tandem for Toronto.
Perfect. Now that we're done talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs goaltending situation, I want to know what Abbotsford's situation is going to look like, because I think we've talked a little bit about Mikey DiPietro here on the show, and obviously him. Would you say, no, I wouldn't say requesting a trade because that hasn't been reported, but his agent has given the opportunity to speak to other teams. We don't expect to see Mikey here at camp. Would you disagree with that statement?
No, not at all.
You don't expect him to be a Vancouver Canuck when training camp happens?
No, they're going to put two goalies in Abbotsford, and I understand.
That's the thing. So if Mikey isn't traded, does he go down to the ECHL?
That would be a monumental... Well, he'd get claimed. He'd get claimed by an AHL team because there's waivers, AHL and ECHL waivers. But I was hoping you'd actually
know.
He's
on an NHL contract.
Yeah, sorry. So hang on a sec.
He would be loaned to the ECHL. He wouldn't have to be sent down.
Really?
Yeah. Well, the Canucks don't have an ECHL affiliate, so he's always loaned.
Well, that would be that won't happen. They won't let
him get to that.
They
would do that to Seelov still, right? Like, he would be the one who would still get loaned, I think, right?
No, they're going to trade him. I don't think they would. I think they would say, we're going to run three goalies, and Mikey, you're going to sit on the bench,
yeah,
basically.
Well, that's the, because if you send Mikey down to the ECHL, and it's not like his value's high right now anyways. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like if a team were to come and say, we'll give you a fourth-round pick for DiPietro, the Canucks are taking that. Because I don't think they're getting anything better than that.
Are they? Because the agent's been given permission to facilitate a trade, and they haven't done anything.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think there's a team out there saying, we'll give you a fourth round for him, sure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And again, like,
which is wild, because there's, you know, they still think that there is some pedigree. There is a good goaltender somewhere there in Mikey DiPietro. I don't know if he's an NHL goalie. I don't think he's an NHL starter. Could he play on an NHL team right now? I don't know. Maybe. I think he could be a backup on a really weak team in the NHL.
Or like really this good season, team.
Or
he could back up Tampa Bay.
I think he could absolutely be a solid starter in the AHL next season at the minimum.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
And that's
well.
What makes it so confusing for me with the situation in Abbotsford. If Mikey's still here, does he, like, it just feels like the organization and him are done. That's why I think, like, maybe he would go to the ECH. I don't know. I'm asking you.
I wish I had an answer for you. I don't think, one, that the Canucks should ever put Mikey in a position where they send him down to the ECHL.
They've put him in some pretty bad situations up to this point.
But that was the past management regime, and a lot of it was out of their control. I'm not even going to get into it because we've gotten into it so many times. But, look, the organization sure has put him in a bad spot, but that's not going to happen here. Mikey's not going to
the
ECHL.
What percentage do you think Mikey is at training camp? Because I would say about 40.
Yeah, I'd say
40, I still, like, 50. If I'm betting he's traded by then for whatever it is, future consideration. Maybe that's the trade that they get for the Martin deal. They trade back Mikey DiPietro for more future consideration. Or that is the future consideration that they traded for Spencer Martin. That would be funny. But, yeah, I still think, like, I wouldn't be shocked if he was there at training camp. And, man, what a tough spot for him to be put in, because we're going to ask him about it. Right? We have to. That's our job. I would love to know the full story from his mouth, right? And, you
we'll
know, he's
day.
A player that we can't get in the offseason right now, I think, especially with the situation that he's in. But
and that's not, sorry, just to be clear, that's not because the Canucks are keeping it hush-hush.
No, I just.
He's off limits or anything.
Yeah.
Just to clarify that that's not why, you know, we haven't heard from him.
No, for sure. It's the reason why JT Miller is not doing interviews somewhere else. There's a lot going on with these players.
There's
a lot
going on. They don't want to,
Yeah.
It's the summer.
I'm still looking at it where, like, there is absolutely a possibility that he's at Canucks training camp and that he's out to Abbotsford. And I'm just confused what that situation looks like because
it's three goalies on the roster and they want two. But, Chris, there's going to be three.
But then how many starts is Mikey getting? Because
like
they want
one,
to get
one or two a month.
Yeah.
And if that, they're going to try and look for a trade, Chris. And, look, injuries happen. There's a lot of goalies that go down on the waiver wire out of camp.
Right.
And, look, like, Some teams will realize that, hey, maybe we want to strengthen here, maybe we want this. And, you know, if you trade for Mike, you don't have to claim him off waivers. You don't have to keep him on your NHL roster or anything like that. You know, you can have him, and he's waiver exempt, obviously. So, look, like, I don't think he'll be at training camp. If he is, I don't think it means, oh, wow, Archer Seelov's going to the ECHL. This is their long-term project, right? Like, this is the goaltender that this organization has a vested interest in.
So
they
no
just
chance.
Don't have that with Mikey. No.
There's no chance that the Canucks and the relationship with Mikey DiPietro is able to be flipped, like, and be back to being, because, listen, it's a new management group, right? Like, this management group has what? Since Mikey DiPietro has been with this new management group, he was one of the top. He got, I think, more starts than Spencer Martin last year when under the new management regime. And Martin obviously ended up getting the important ones. He got the playoff starts, so that's probably not great for Mikey DiPietro either. But this is a completely new management group. There's a chance to start a new relationship here. And, like, I think that obviously his agent being able to speak to other teams isn't a great start to the relationship, but can it be rebuilt now that it's Patrick Alvin and Jim Rutherford instead of Jim Benning?
It can. I don't know how much of a fit or, and again, okay, this isn't a report, and I don't want to sound like I'm just sounding off, but one thing we've always heard with goaltenders and about Ian Clark is that not everybody, because, you know, we all, a lot of people talk about, they like, he's widely revered and all that stuff. Like, people really like Ian Clark as a goalie coach, which is fine. Like, he's a great goalie
His
coach.
His track record deserves it.
Track record deserves it, absolutely. But something that Woodley has pointed out to us, and again, like, Woodley knows Clark, he says, like, you know, not every goaltender responds well to Ian's style. Right? And I'm not saying that, you know, Ian, like, yells at anybody or is, like, abusive or anything. That's not what I'm saying at all.
Think about him at development camp, how much fun he was having with these goalies.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Don't get me wrong. They were out there and at, like, you know, half an hour early working very hard.
Yeah.
But look at how much fun Ian Clark has with these guys. Aside, do you remember, like, how funny it was before this? There was a scrimmage. Like, it wasn't the big scrimmage, but it was, like, a two-on-one thing. And Clark's just in the stand screaming, no goals! No! You might not have been there. It might have been a Wednesday.
Yeah, you told
me. But he's like, yeah, he's screaming, no goals! Aku, no goals! You know, Artie, no goals! Like, it was, he was screaming at all
of them. Yeah, like a two-on-one scrimmage.
There was, like, drill. Yeah, it was something. It was, like, a three-on-one drill where, like, they were going to score so many goals. Right? But he's just screaming, no goals. And then, like, you know, I think one of the media members, like, yelled at him. He's like, what happens if they get scored on? He's like, I don't know. They're cut. Like, just like, you know, like, just little things. Like, he does have a lot of fun, but I get what you're saying. Like, I think a lot of what you're talking about is just the way that goalies approach the game on the mental side. I think that's what Ian Clark really challenges goalies with.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the work ethic too, right? Like, you look how much Thatcher Demko's out there working. You look at development camp, how much those guys were out there working, right? Like, you know, and again, this is not questioning Mikey's work ethic at all, because
we were saying the complete opposite, though.
He's
like,
work ethic.
He is. Like,
he does.
And it's more about, I don't think it's about Ian Clark. I think it was just about how the organization treated him.
Absolutely.
And that's why I think there might be.
But, sorry to cut you off. He had that year with Ian Clark where he learned a lot of things, right?
Sure.
He learned a lot of concepts. And one thing that Woodley's also talked about is that Mikey's kind of getting away from his puck tracking. He's getting away from the things that made him successful before. And again, part of that is because he didn't play games for a while. And it almost looks like, and I think Woodley said this exactly, it almost looks like Mikey's doing all the correct movements that he's learned, but he's not actually stopping the puck because he's not watching the puck well enough. And he's not, you know, he's not tracking the puck with the same ability that he did before. And a lot of that is because he didn't play games. But again, like something Cody Sievertson pointed out to me, someone who watched every Abbotsford Canucks game, is that for that little heater Mikey went on toward the end of the year, it almost looked like he changed his style completely.
Cody missed some games.
Okay, but still.
I probably watched more than him. I didn't have a puppy.
Doesn't matter. Anyway.
Just saying.
The point is, Mikey kind of changed his style and then went back to what we expected from him and what we saw with, you know, the way he moves and how we like how he moves because it looks so good and it looks like Thatcher Demko. And then, you know, he gets lit up for those final two games.
Sure.
Right?
I mean, but the run that he had at the second half of the season before those final two games.
And that's my point.
That's what he was.
What Cody was
good.
Cody was saying he was goaltending differently during that stretch.
Right. No, he looked locked in. I think that's.
And that's something to consider. It's
right.
Something to consider.
And that's why I just think I wonder. It just feels like, you know, and I think especially like the fact the report got out of the agent being able to explore other options, mm-hmm. I thought there might have been a chance to kind of, you know, have Jim Rutherford talk to him, say, hey, this is different. We're still pretty high on you. Because I don't think Mikey DiPietro is just an absolute dud. Like, I do think
I think there's an NHL future.
There's some potential still in his game, and he's still very young. What, 22 years old?
Yeah.
23 maybe now?
22.
I mean, I don't know.
Maybe 23. I think he's a
Which is kind of why it's not like, I guess maybe like the Colin Delia signing. Delia, the signing of him kind of is the writing on the wall.
That's Jeremy Colliton's guy.
You're right.
The new coach in Abbotsford.
And that
guy.
Sets it up where it's like, you know, we know that Ian Clark really likes Archer Seelovs.
Yeah.
Right? There's a lot to like about him. He's younger. Is that kind of feels like, yeah, maybe Mikey is on the outs. It's going to be a wild situation to play out here in Abbotsford, especially if Mikey's still on the roster. That's what's going to be interesting for me to watch.
Yeah. And like, I didn't ask Patrick Alvin specifically what's going to happen to the third goaltender.
But he said.
But
what
he said
to
there's going to be two, which means there's going to be competition up here, and there's going to be competition down there. And you bring up the name Colin Delia. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about him before we go to break.
Jeez, you're going to have to hit the goalie intro again here. This is a long
story. I'm going to get this.
Well, I am happy we're talking.
You want to spend like 30 minutes on Mikey DiPietro
alone.
Well,
you spent 10 minutes talking about golfers.
I talked about post-integration, too. I got that in there. Yeah. I talked about Roberto Luongo's post-integration in August.
Yeah, you're just... Yeah. You've had too many of these these Long Islands here.
Okay, let me.
You're living the dream. You're out in the sun. You're podcasting. You're talking about goalies, and you're drinking Long Island iced teas.
Yeah, I got my sunglasses on. I'm sitting in a lounge chair. Dude, which
these
like
chairs are
awesome.
Nice.
They are. They're very comfortable.
This is like we're at the Montanas here in Tawasin. This is the only table with like these nice deep. What would you even call these?
There's
like
a
beach
fire
chairs
pit
kind
here
of thing.
Too. This is a fire pit.
Yeah, we're in the VIP spot
yeah,
right
we're
now.
We're in a solid spot. Okay. I like it. Let me talk about this, because the NHL backup position, a lot of people, and for good reason, had Spencer Martin penciled into that position, Chris. But the interesting thing is that when the club went and got Colin Delia, that's what I asked Alvin about specifically. I said, look, is the plan to run three goaltenders in Abbotsford? What are you thinking about Colin Delia? Is it just to add some competition and some depth? Competition was the thing he focused on as his answer to me, and it was really that, look, like Colin Delia might be the NHL backup next year.
Okay.
He's got more NHL experience than Spencer Martin. Right?
What was his save percentage last year, though?
It doesn't matter. It wasn't 958, yeah. But I get your point.
That's why I think Martin did enough last year where he is, like right now you make the depth chart, Spencer Martin's ahead of Delia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's what it's going to be like coming out of camp.
Well, you don't know. Who impresses in camp? Who does well in preseason starts? If yeah. Colin Delia go posts a zero, knock on wood, I did it. I didn't say the word. If Delia posts a zero in a preseason game, he's probably getting the NHL backup job out of camp.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
So my point being, Chris,
I'm saying it's possible. I wouldn't bet on it, though.
No, exactly. I guess you're right. If you're a betting man, Spencer Martin is who you go with. But again, like when I look at this team, I look at their depth chart. If Spencer Martin doesn't work out, you've got Colin Delia as the backup there.
Yeah, fair. Right? The thing that I would think is kind of interesting, though, is like what if Mikey's at camp and he really shines, because we like to look at him at rookie camp last year.
Yeah.
Didn't have a really good start to the season. Had a good end to the season, except for those final two games. I don't know. All right, I'll leave it there because, I guess, this could all mean nothing if Mikey's traded next week anyways.
Yeah, exactly. So, we'll wrap it up there.
What do you predict for a trade? Is it futures? Is that it? Like a future consideration? Is
like
that
a fifth-round pick, maybe?
Really?
Fifth or
you think?
Higher? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
What, does a fifth sound crazy to
you? No, I think with the way the situation is played out, I would take a fifth.
Okay.
I'd be completely content with a fifth.
Perfect.
It's going to be interesting. We'll see what happens with the Abbotsford roster. Hey, next on the other side here, you can send to the break, but our poll question, talking about the AHL roster a little bit as well, a player that we might see there.
Yes.
Or maybe making his NHL, he made his debut a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
but
and we'll get to more. We'll get to the defense corps as well. We're going to give our best defense groups like we did with the forward group. All right. So before that, we'll get to our ads for Montana's where we're recording from. So keep it locked, keep it loaded on Canucks Conversation.
Get messy.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Before we go any further into the episode, we have to give a quick shout-out to our friends at Montana's. Montana's is the barbecue expert in Canada. They smoke their ribs in-house every day, and then they sauce and fire grill them to order. Montana's legendary all-you-can-eat ribs promotion is on now, 7 days a week until the end of summer. Come in for all-you-can-eat ribs and get Montana's messy to win weekly prizes. Chris, do you have a little Montana story for us?
I tell you, go get the apple butter barbecue sauce, the best sauce they got there. And listen, the ribs are great. Do the all-you-can-eat ribs.
But if you're not in the mood for ribs, four cheese spin dip. They got an incredible spinach dip in Montana, as you know it. And you can find the barbecue sauce at the store as well. Take home a bottle with you.
There you
Apple butter barbecue. Excellent stuff.
So be sure to go visit Montana's, where they have certified smoke and grill masters doing all of the barbecuing. With 7 locations throughout British Columbia.
Shout out Nanaimo.
Including Nanaimo, British Columbia, Langley, Tawasin, Prince George, Victoria, Fort St. John, and Kelowna. Be sure to go check out Montana's Barbecue and Bar today. And a massive thank you to all of our sponsors here at the Canucks Conversation Podcast, including, you know I got to shout them out again, Chris, Montana's.
Let me say something quick about Montana's
here.
Go
ahead.
So I'm walking through there, Montana's. I pick up a sign that I see there on the wall. I'm just looking at it. Half price wings on Mondays.
Oh, man.
Half price wings.
Oh, man. Came here on the wrong day.
We don't record on Mondays.
We don't record on Mondays, but we might have to start.
No, I know.
What if we just, if we live
Why not
closer?
Wednesday? Wing Wednesday, right? That's got the sing
it.
To it.
I hear you. Okay, yeah. Let's start picking apart the sponsors advertising.
Yeah,
campaigns.
Either way, all you can eat ribs. That's what you get. Get messy in the summer here.
Absolutely. If we live closer, this might become the new recording home of Canucks Convo.
It's cooler out here.
We just come to Montana's and record.
No, second floor.
Oh, yeah.
That's one step closer to, no offense to the house or anything, to hell. It's that hot.
It is hot. It is hot. It gets hot in there. Okay.
We're telling a listener of the show that dropped by here, too, Greg.
Shout out, Greg.
And Lad Wasson.
Yeah.
Half Ladner, half Tawasin. Mm-hmm. He dropped by, and, yeah, we were telling him about the heat in the studio. It's nice to be outside, man. We're not really getting much sun. A little clouded over, but that's kind of the way I like it. I like my days like this.
Yeah.
And the rain's holding off. It's supposed to start later tonight, so we better let's get rolling here into the poll question.
Better get rolling.
You're looking
at
videos of yourself here on the.
I was reading the replies, man.
Yeah,
it's important. And it wasn't just of myself; it was of you too.
No, you're always critiquing it of yourself. You say this video of you here. You're rubbing your hands too much or talking too much. They got the whole thing recorded here.
Too seductive.
I think we might post the clip of me zoning out of you as soon as you're like, but it's just a regular VH for Luongo. I was done at that point.
You can play Sound of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel. Make a little TikTok.
Yeah, I don't. You start talking about VGH. I think you're talking about the children's lottery or something. Okay.
We can get it together.
Anyways.
Okay. Our episode 284, Atlas Goods poll question, brought to you by, you guessed it, Atlas Goods. Go to Atlas GDS. Use promo code CC15 to get 15% off your first order of Pop Rinds, the best fresh pork rinds straight out of your microwave or air fryer. Our question today: where will Jack Rathbone begin the season? The NHL, the AHL, and as always, I'm angry. Chris, great poll question, bud. 78% of people say NHL, 18% say AHL, 4% say I'm angry.
What do you mean great? It was a great poll question.
How is it great? Everybody thinks it's one-sided.
The masses are wrong on this one.
Go ahead. Tell us why we're wrong, because I voted NHL as well.
Yeah, and I know. And I know we're going to give our defense pairings after this in the later part of this episode here, but I don't know. I find it really hard to think that Rathbone is going to be in the NHL lineup. He's going to be in the starting six defensemen to start the season.
Okay.
And because of that, I think they still want him to play games. Like, how many games has Rathbone played as a pro? No more than what, 60? No more than 60.
Mm.
He's still got to play some games. This management group is a management group that likes to let their prospects marinate in the AHL. It shouldn't be a shock to people if Jack Rathbone is back in the AHL to start the season. Is he good enough to play in the NHL on a lot of teams? Yeah, if you put him in a third pairing in a certain role. If the Canucks had a top pairing guy who was a right shot defenseman who made so much sense playing with Quinn Hughes, they had Noah Dobson. Say they had Noah Dobson playing with Quinn Hughes. Mm-hmm. Then, yeah, I think there would be an NHL spot playing with Luke Shen on a third pairing for Jack Rathbone. But because of the situation with the defense, I don't see him sliding into the top six right now. With what they have on the left side, I do not see him sliding in. I think he's going to start the season in the AHL. And if he really blows the doors down in the AHL, which honestly I would very much expect him to do, then maybe he gets called up. But I don't see him starting the season. I see him starting in the AHL. For all the skill that he has in the world, and he might be the most skilled offensive puck-moving defenseman in the AHL to start the season. He might be that. But I think that's where he might end up being. Instead of the NHL, I can totally see Rathbone starting in the A because of this new management group, because of how they want to have a different eye on development, because of all the changes out in Abbotsford. He gets to spend all the time with the Sedins out there. Like, they're starting to build a little bit now out there in Abbotsford where I'm not saying it's a destination for prospects, but it's definitely not a bad spot to be if you're in a situation like Rathbone.
Just because you hire the Sedins, it doesn't mean you hold your prospects back. I think you want the opposite of that.
Look at what this management group has done in the past.
I get it, man. I get that. But look, you have Rutherford, and I think you also have Alvin, both on the record, saying Jack Rathbone has earned the right to play in Vancouver.
Sure. You also have Patrick Alvin, who traded a third-round pick for Travis Dermott.
Yeah. And he's in my lineup. They're both in my lineup.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, they are.
They've also talked a lot about Tucker Pullman being a guy who can shore up the top four. If he's healthy, no chance Rathbone's in the NHL.
If Tucker Pullman's healthy,
yeah.
There's no chance.
I'm not
chance.
Saying because of the skill. I'm just saying because of the way the defense is going to be formatted.
That's insane.
Why?
Because there's no need for Tucker Pullman to
Who's a better right side defenseman?
Sorry, you don't even need to take out Tucker Pullman. Let's say in your fantasy world that Tucker Pullman's an NHL defenseman. Okay? Yep. Let's say that Tucker Pullman does that. And again, I say this every time I talk about Tucker Pullman. I don't think he's a great player. I wish him all the best. I hope he comes back from these concussions. I did not see anything. Like, I was having this conversation. This is at a wedding, okay? I was talking to someone who knows what I do for work, and they started talking to me about the Canucks. And I said, oh, I think Pullman's going to be good. I'm like, why? Oh, really good first pass out of the zone. I said, sorry? Every first pass I saw Pullman make out of the zone, sure, he can skate.
I don't know.
Can't handle the puck super well, but also every outlet pass looked like a wrist shot into the ribs of his teammates.
I don't know about that. I think you're over-exaggerating a little bit.
You think Pullman's good at breaking the puck out of his own end?
I think Pullman's a fine player with the puck, and I think he skates well. I don't think we got to see a lot of him last year. We also got to see a lot of him under a Travis Green team that was, like Jim Rutherford said, the worst team at breaking the puck out of their own zone. Were they better at breaking the puck out under Bruce Boudreau?
No. Travis Green doesn't get all the blame for that. Rutherford wasn't saying they were so bad before. Rutherford was saying since he's been here, they were one of the worst teams. He wasn't even talking about Travis.
Well, I mean, it's the team that developed at that point anyways. They were playing the same way a lot of the season going into that with the defense.
Yeah, but...
So you're saying the defense was good at breaking the puck out before?
Someone's looking at us because I'm yelling at you.
Good. That's totally fine.
But you're making it sound, and I'm smiling so that they know we're friends. You're making it sound, Chris, like Jim Rutherford came out and said, oh, that Travis Green, he couldn't get our elite defenseman at breaking out the puck like Tucker Pullman to break out the puck well. No, when he made that comment, he was talking about the Bruce Boudreau-led team. That had nothing... Those are totally different things.
So... What you're saying is the Travis Green one was good at breaking out the puck?
No, they were bad, but so was the Bruce Boudreau team. And it's not because Bruce Boudreau's a bad coach.
Right, and Tucker Pullman wasn't even there.
He was there for a few games, but...
not for a lot, though.
No, but I'm sorry, but the same... Okay, I'll put it this way, Chris. The same defensemen that were bad at moving the puck when Travis Green was around were still bad at moving the puck when Bruce Boudreau took over. Do you think Tucker Pullman would be the outlier?
Tucker Pullman's healthy and he's in the Canucks lineup, they're not moving Dermott to the right side and sitting Pullman on the bench.
No, they're not.
Right, so they'd have Dermott on the third pairing.
No, my lineup has Rathbone over Dermott.
No, it doesn't. I don't see general managers letting a lineup happen where they just traded a third-round pick for a player. They expect to see Travis Dermott play.
You know defensemen don't play every single game, right? Third-pairing defensemen?
Yeah, but like with Jack Rathbone, you want him playing as much as possible. That's why the AHL can make sense.
Sure. I understand that.
Biker gang coming through here. I think you can hear this, right?
Yeah. Oh, let the...
We've had Zambonis in the past. We have not had a biker gang roll through.
You can definitely hear that through the headset. Absolutely. And I also put my mic toward them as a little ambiance.
Sorry, back on the Dermott thing.
Yeah.
You think they'll play Rathbone over Dermott? I don't see that. Like,
no. Sorry.
That doesn't look good on a general manager.
I don't care, Chris. I was asked to make the best Canucks lineup.
Okay.
That's what you asked me to do. You said make the best Canucks defense core.
And I'm not super against that either. Like, I think that skill-wise, could Rathbone potentially be better than Dermott? Maybe. I don't think he's proved at the NHL level.
I think he's a better defenseman than, like, all around, I think he's a better defender than Travis Dermott.
Okay.
I know Dermott's got, like, an inch of height, but his height starts at the 6, people will think he's, like, a monster over Rathbone. Mm-hmm. He's not.
I don't think that a Dermott-Pullman third pairing isn't a, like, it's not a bad thing. That's not a horrible
third pairing. I think it is,
actually.
I do think it is.
I think
Rathbone's much better at moving the puck than Dermott is. Much better. Dermott is known for those gaffes, okay? And I like Travis Dermott. But what did we talk about, Chris? When he got traded here, Leafs fans said, hey, you know what? He's fine, but sometimes he'll just blow a pass. Like, mm-hmm. He will just blow a breakout pass, and it'll be a grade-A scoring chance against. Are we counting on Tucker Poolman to fix that? Like, is Tucker Poolman going to fix Travis Dermott?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I don't see, like, I...
So, but
if
but
he's healthy, he's in the lineup.
Third pair.
That's what I'm saying. If Tucker Poolman's healthy, he's in the lineup.
Yeah, but that... Okay, sure,
that's
sure,
that's a right-shot defenseman.
Let's move past from Tucker Poolman, okay. Please. Please, let's move past from Tucker Poolman. What is your best Canucks defense core? Go ahead.
Personally?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess we should get to that point here.
Yeah, we should. We talked about this for a while.
I just want to, first off, go by saying this. I do not, and I think I've made this somewhat clear in previous episodes, I don't think OEL is playing the right side. I don't think it's going
to
happen.
That was also reported, by the way. Someone pointed out to us that was actually reported.
Yeah.
It wasn't just something I imagined.
Yeah, but the report was like he might be working to play on the right. I didn't see video of him, you know, out there with Nicholas Lindstrom snapping on the puck.
Not everybody's at every rink in North America. Actually, I guess he's in Europe. But not everybody's at the rink.
I could tell you who Pod Colson was skating with last week. Honestly.
Yeah, because he Instagrams everything. He's one of these young kids.
No,
like
he was on the ice. Pod Colson was playing on the same team as Alexander Ovechkin last week.
Oh, and wait, so Alex Ovechkin got more media coverage than Oliver Ekman-Larsson?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Sweden better step it up a little bit. No, yeah, Pod Colson on the ice with, and you know who else he was with? Pavel Datsyuk. You know what Datsyuk told him?
So, sorry.
Hold on. Let me give you a little Pod Colson. Sure. I follow the Russian news. The whole article that I read was, Pod Colson gets told by Pavel Datsyuk, don't listen to anyone, just work hard. That's the quote that Datsyuk told Pod Colson. What do you think about that?
He means media. When he says don't listen to anyone, I don't think he means...
Well, the translations aren't the best.
Obviously, Michael's torn about listening to Bruce Boudreau like Alex Ovechkin.
No, you know he loves Boudreau. But he got to skate with Ovechkin, which is cool. He played on the same a charity tournament. It wasn't crazy. It was Panarin's charity tournament, and he was on the same team as Ovechkin. And, you know...
Same line.
Yeah, and he's had good... Kuzmenko was there, too. No, he wasn't actually. You know that, obviously, Pod Colson's had good conversations with Ovechkin about Boudreau. So.
Now he's torn about which generational talent to listen to.
Yeah.
Datsyuk's telling him to listen to nobody. Ovechkin's telling him to listen to Boudreau. So, sorry, we're just going to go back to the fact that you're surprised somehow.
So, OEL.
That a charity tournament that had Artemi Panarin, Pavel Datsyuk, and Alex Ovechkin got more media coverage than Oliver Ekman-Larsson skating at his local rink on the other side of the ice.
Well, I'm getting articles about Pod Colson playing in a charity tournament. You're telling me there's one tweet on the internet that says OEL might be working out on the right side this summer.
Nobody is going to cover that. There's no reporter in Sweden. Look, we don't have any reporters in Sweden in this market.
Okay, fair enough.
Right? So nobody's there. You're like, oh, God.
I'm not in Russia. I'm still getting all the Russian news.
Yeah, because there's three generational talents.
Here's a report for you. I might be getting dessert here at Montana's. Does that mean that I should be eating dessert every night? No,
but
I might be getting dessert once.
But sorry,
did OEL make it to the right side of the ice during a skate? Maybe. Maybe that's all the thing is.
Just to prove this point a little bit further, Chris, if Alex Ovechkin and Pavel Datsyuk were here, okay, and they were eating dessert at Montana's, that might actually make the news.
Yeah, because we're here, we'd be like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, we'd write about it.
Yeah, no, for sure.
No, okay, can we just get to our defense pairs now?
Yeah, I don't see OEL playing the right side. So my first pairing, I don't, you know, is there a trade that happens and change this? Maybe, but we're going with what we have right now, what the roster currently is. I'm going with Quinn Hughes and Luke Shen on the first pairing. I'm going with Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Tyler Myers on the second pairing. And then, am I predicting or am I giving mine here?
We're going to do both because I've tried to make the point that the best Canucks lineup is probably not the one we'll see, in my opinion.
If I'm giving mine, then it is going to be Jack Rathbone and Tucker Poolman. If healthy, that's a pairing where...
Did you say that's your best lineup?
Yeah.
Well, you just stole my thunder because that was my take.
Yeah. That's my best lineup. The way that I made it... Tried to lay this out for you was
when a general manager
trades a third round pick for a player and it's a guy who's going to be a third pairing guy, you're likely to see him play there. Okay. That doesn't look good on a gentleman who listen like that. Remember that? Like third, you trade Hamonic for a third. It's like, wow, they got an extra third round pick. Okay. Now we have Elias Pettersson who they drafted in his most recent draft in the third round. I'm looking at that as like, listen, that's a player who's in the higher caliber of your prospects now. They could have had another one of those if they didn't trade for... Come on. It's a gnat quads. No,
I've been getting bitten. It's coming back for more. You see it?
He's losing his mind over here.
Sorry, continue. I am listening to
you. No, you're not.
I'm just swatting away at this thing.
I just don't see it. Like, if you're going to trade a third round pick, you're expecting that player to be in your roster.
I don't see it either.
Especially when you're trading for a player of that age.
I think it's on my leg.
Oh, man.
Okay, sorry. Continue.
It's the off season. I'll tell you that.
Continue.
No, so that's what I have. And then I have, if it was my roster and I was making the best one, I would, and you know what? I would have a serious conversation about Jack Rathbone getting time on PP2. I think his shot is like that. Something that is at an NHL power play level. Like a second power play unit, his shot's at that level. Offensively walking the line, skating, he does all those things.
Fake clap bomb from the point.
And this is the year where he's got to make the push, you know? Like, yeah. I bet Rathbone has been working his tail off.
Yeah.
You know? I know you're texting him every 40 minutes, check on him.
Hi, Jack. I just want to know how your day's going.
You're like, hey, Jack, I missed 7 putts today on 3 holes. Can you help?
Can you help?
Because you know Rathbone had that hole-in-one earlier in the year.
He did. Well, it'd be great if I could get it in the cup and didn't have to putt. Are you kidding me? That's I'm on the green basically every time from the
tee box. Okay, so you have the same one then.
I do. Basically, I have the
Hugh Shen, OEL Myers. So you're in the same camp. You're not thinking OEL's going to play on the right side like everyone says?
Well, no, if he does.
Okay, let's go down that road.
Let's give 4 scenarios.
Let's go down that road.
Yeah, let's say if OEL, okay.
Who's he playing with?
OEL's playing with Quinn Hughes.
Wow.
Who are you suggesting? Maybe Rathbone in a top 4 role? And then, well, then Shen's your first pair. I think the whole point of OEL being on the right side, were to happen, is to play with Quinn Hughes. Yeah. Is it not? You're not putting Luke Shen with Quinn Hughes again if OEL can play the right side effectively.
And man, I tell you, I know it's a very small sample size and it was used in offensive situations, but like the analytics behind Quinn Hughes and OEL actually playing together are very high. So that is the pairing that you'd likely see if it does happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm in that boat with you if that's the spot. After that, it's Dermott and Myers.
Now we got a B.
Okay, yeah, this outside, it's falling apart here. It's like I'm working with a child here.
I can't focus on
this. There's a wasp that flies around. We'll get out of here quickly, Quads. From that, I think, and Greg's not going to like that. So he likes when we go a little long. The wasps, that's why you got out of here this time. First pairing would be Hughes and OEL. Second pairing to me would be Dermott and Myers. And third pairing there would be Rathbone and Shen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm getting up.
All right.
Come to Montana's, folks. But careful.
It's bees. Just the bees
it's
all over.
It's just because we left the ribs
I know. He's having the ribs, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so your pairing is very similar to mine.
Yeah. And would you change anything in the bottom four there?
I think we agree is the thing. We agree, which is very funny because we just had a very heated debate before about...
And that's my lineup that I would play on the ice to start and have the best chance. I think that we see different, though.
But not really, though. Like, when you say we, you mean you and I or the team and you?
The team and I.
Yeah, okay, yeah, same. Like, and that's the thing is we're not going to get a
nice... You think the team goes with Rathbone? I don't think the team goes with Rathbone.
No, I don't think the team goes with Rathbone either. I think at some point they will. I think he makes the roster, but I think he's, like, the seventh guy.
Here's the other difference is his new contract now is he makes the same amount in the NHL as he does in the AHL now.
Yes.
So him going to the AHL isn't the worst thing in the world.
Well...
For him, money-wise.
For him, but for the team...
It's not the worst thing in the world either. I think having him play more games, look at his career games as a pro, it's not very high. They want this kid to play more games.
Okay.
And he is an absolute... And you know what? With the new coach and Jeremy Colleton, he's going to be used as an absolute horse out there.
Well, he already Colleton's was by Trent Cole, right?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. There was times... I mean, Cole rolled a lot of the lines at
certain
points.
Didn't he PK one and PP one?
No. He was power play one, yeah. I don't remember a lot of penalty killing time for Rathbone. Really? Also, you watch like the end of the game, those playoff games when they're like down by one and you're rolling the defense core instead of double shifting Rathbone, some big question marks there.
Yeah, I guess.
I think Colton's gonna see and be like, ooh, I gotta minute this guy up. Like I gotta get Rathbone going.
Yeah, that's fair. And I don't know, it's interesting because like you
said, I still think he starts in the A. You're with the people, like the 80% of people here that you think he's starting in the NHL.
Well, I think he starts in the NHL, and I think worst case Ontario, Chris, is that you carry 70, right?
Yeah, which is normal. Probably 8.
Yeah, and Travis Dermott and
Kyle Burrows is still
there
too.
Both on that team, and so is Kyle Burrows, right?
Right.
I think both of those guys are making the team, and I think you're cycling through a Dermott and a Rathbone if you really need to, right, on your third pair.
So in your eyes, in my eyes... Rathbone is better playing games in the AHL than he is as a seventh defenseman to start the season. In your eyes, is it different?
Yeah, because I think he makes the team and then quickly takes over that spot.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's quick work.
If the team's winning games with Dermott as their third pairing, they're not changing it.
Okay, I'll believe
it. And this team has a chance to win games off the top.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know about that. If they have Dermott and Pullman as their third pair,
might be Burrows.
Might be. I don't.
Especially
like that
if I mean we don't either. We don't know the future health of Pullman as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. Every time we talk about Pullman, I feel so bad. We got to preface it by saying, and hope he gets better.
I mean, in my eyes, we're just hearing the reports. You hope that he's healthy, right? I mean, you know, we did the same, a lot of similar talk about Michael Furlan for a long time.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So that's kind of why it's like, I don't think we're getting excited as much as we did with Furlan, right? Because we got kind of excited at certain mm-hmm. times. We saw how it happened. I think because we've gone through this before, and I think obviously different situation, every concussion head injury situation is, but yeah, hope for the best with Pullman. It'd be great to, like, I think he's an NHL defenseman. Is he overpaid a little bit? Maybe. Is he time for too long? Absolutely. But I think he can help the Canucks defense corps anyways on a third pairing role. You hate him. I know you hate him.
I don't hate him. He's a very nice person. He's also very funny. So I anybody who's funny gets in my good books.
Yeah.
Okay? I just, I personally, like
you,
I
that's why
see
you're
a
Jason Dickinson stan.
Yeah, he's funny.
He's funny.
He is funny.
Yeah.
I'd be doing a disservice to...
When he told us, like, he told us, like, I've just been horrible in the face-off dot. We're like, yeah, but like, it's weird when he says it.
It's like, you didn't have to say it. Like, we're like, all, leave it to us.
We're all
it.
Writing that, but like, for him to actually say it was like, that was funny.
Yeah, he gave us the quote.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, no, I like Tucker Pullman. I just don't know if he's the best option on defense, that's all. All
right. Can I tease next episode?
Sure, but before we do here? That, no, one last thing.
Okay, Greg will like this, out, you're extending the episode.
I just want to point out that after we gave our forward groups on the last episode, you posted a poll question with the two groups, and you asked people to vote who had a better lineup.
Yeah.
With 81% of the vote, quads, and 19% of the vote was you.
That's why I look at these polls, and what, 78% of people say Jack Rathbun in NHL?
I'm with the people, baby.
Yeah, I'm not with the people anymore. I used to be a people person, then they let me down like this two times in a row. They let me down here.
Is it maybe because you're wrong?
Doubt it.
That's probably. Good mindset to have.
No, I've been wrong before, and I'll be wrong again.
Look, take it from Pavel Datsyuk. Don't listen to anyone.
That's what I say. I just work. Just put your head down and work. That's the thing. When you talk as much as I do on a podcast, you're going to be wrong a lot of the time. That's the way she rolls.
I love people walking by. They just
yeah, they're very confused. Like, what are these guys doing with a laptop, a podcast setup, two mics?
Some ribs.
Yeah, just
so there's some ribs.
One rack of ribs left.
Yeah, a nice tea. We got backpacks.
Can I tease?
Everywhere.
All right, we're done. Next episode here. Can I tease it? Very excited for it. I got the interview tomorrow morning, actually. So it'll just be me. Quads, you're going to be sleeping in because we all know you sleep in about 11:30. I text you at 7 in the morning. I give you 15 texts, and I don't get a reply until about 11:45.
I wake up
stumbling
at
6:30. Stumbling out of bed. No
something a little bread.
No espresso. Nutella on toast. That's what he does every morning. Wakes up.
If anything, I'm very proud to say that I got you to start saying espresso instead of expresso.
Espresso in the morning. And no, you've actually gotten better at waking up early. It is surprising, actually, especially for someone your age. Anyways, next episode, Sheldon Dries of the Abbotsford Canucks. He'll be on the show. I'm excited for that. And since we're chatting the Abbotsford Canucks, I'm going to give my full lineup. You hear that? Full
that
lineup.
Now?
No, next episode.
Oh, okay, good.
So next episode is going to be all about Abbotsford. So, you know, we're not going to be talking about doctors and golfers and stuff like we did on this episode mm-hmm. or goalies. Maybe we'll skip the whole goalie section. But I'm going to give the AHL lineup, and yes, Jack Rathbun is on it. So okay. That's a little tease. And Sheldon Dries will be actually on the episode. Chat with him. Maybe Rathbun, too.
Ask
like
him for his best
Rathbun
lineup.
Is always down to come on the pod. So
yeah,
like
Rathbun's
maybe,
great.
Maybe we'll even sneak him in like a three-way call with Dries tomorrow. But
yeah, I don't know why you're so against Rathbun. Like, friend of
oh,
the show.
Oh, my goodness. I'm not against
Rathbun. How many times Tucker Pullman come on the show?
I don't know.
We should have Tucker Pullman on. He'd be very funny.
You like him.
Tucker Pullman's going to make a really good analyst one day.
Okay.
That's my hot take. Tucker Pullman's got a career in broadcasting.
Maybe. But anyways, Abbotsford Canucks
boring,
leading
though,
goal scorer, Sheldon Dries. He'll be on the show on Saturday, and we're going to talk all Abbotsford on Saturday. Quads, I know you're excited for it. That's why I let you have a little bit of runway here on your goalie talk, because on Saturday's episode, you ain't going to be doing much talking.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's basically, well, you're taking vacation in a couple weeks. You can basically take vacation on Friday.
Yeah,
I'm just going to say, when I stop talking, just ask me another question, and we'll go Abbotsford all the way there. It'll be good, though. And Sheldon Dries is a lot of fun to chat with from doing media with him out there last year. He's a smiley guy, so we'll have a good chat with him on the show on Saturday. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going
to
be good. Okay.
And played, you know what? And some NHL games last year, got some time under Boudreaux. Like, I think it's going to be a really good chat with Dries.
Okay, before we wrap up, I just want to plug that we have a new series on our Patreon. We've been looking for ways to kind of invigorate the Patreon, if you will, and we've been looking around at different options, kind of, you know, different series, different things that people want to see. And one thing that someone brought up, shout out Lisa Martin.
Mama was, Lisa.
Yeah. getting exclusive interviews and stuff, and like, you know, playing parts of an interview on the podcast and then just posting the rest on Patreon. We don't think we're going to do that, but what it did make me think of is doing a series called How the Sausage Gets Made. And basically, I know there's a lot of people that are Mama interested Mia. In this. I know, right? The Sazich.
Italian sausage.
Yeah, How the Sazich Gets Made. But basically what this series is when we do our interviews for stories, like, you know, the one I posted is my one-on-one with Ian Clark. When we do interviews for stories, a lot of times those interviews get used for, you guessed it, stories, and they never get posted on podcasts. But because we have this avenue with Patreon, we basically are posting the audio now of the interview that we did along with the story that it worked for. So you get to hear basically everything from the horse's mouth. You get to kind of hear how we work, how we interview people, how it all, you know, what it's like to make the Sazich, right?
It'll be, you know, you mentioned the Ian Clark one. How often do I talk to prospects? Exactly. Like, I can post a lot of those. It's going to be, you know, you can kind of get the feeling of some player. Like, I think I have, like, you know, it's not all just hockey talk. We have some fun, like, when I'm on a phone call with whoever it is, whether it be, you know, Aiden McDonough or Lucas Forsell, anybody. Like, it, you know, we have some fun, and I think those will be kind of a nice little addition to the Patreon. So expect those in the next little bit here.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll
still do the shoot and the bleeps, though, too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Come in and do those.
Yeah, we like having fun doing that. So go to patreon.com/CanucksConvo. $5 and $10 tiers gets you all of the bonus content. So be sure to check it out. Chris, any closing thoughts from the beautiful Montana's Patio in Tawasa?
Yeah, apple butter barbecue. Might see if I can sneak a bottle out of here,
they
too.
They were delicious.
I know that, yeah, we've had the really good ribs, all you can eat, but I got my bottle just ran out. Like, I just ran out 2 days ago. The apple butter barbecue is excellent. What do you think it's real apple? I'm going to ask on the way out. I'm going to ask what the sauce is all about on the way out.
I think it is.
But it's been
real.
Excellent. Regular, like, the staff here has been awesome, chatting with everyone in Montana. They set us up in this corner here.
Yep.
Ran in some people, gave some shirts away as well.
A lot of fun.
And we actually had, like, Greg from Lad Wasp. We might just stayed and had lunch with us,
too. Greg,
so, like, shout out to Greg.
We just
let him hang out.
Very funny.
Ate some food with him. So shout out to him, listener of the show.
Good guy.
And, yeah, just that's it. That's all I got. It was good, Montana's. Quads is a couple drinks deep now at this point.
Yeah, you can start calling me.
Yeah.
What's the Captain Morgan? Yeah, Captain Quads.
I got to send your girlfriend a text when I just lean you up on your building entrance.
Come get him. He's here.
Yeah, he's here now. Your problem.
All right. We'll close it out there. For my co-host, Chris Faber, our thanks to Montana's for hosting us for this episode again.
Get
be
messy.
Sure to check out Montana's and get hashtag Montana's Messy, folks, or hashtag get Montana's Messy.
Figure
that's,
it out.
That's the hashtag. Go check them out. Montana's Barbecue and Grill.
I got to get out of here. I got to go make a TikTok here. Yeah. I got to go make a walk around Chris, the place, make a TikTok.
Yeah, do a little dance.
You know me. Yeah.
Go dance
get,
around.
I'll go watch Madison Ravios. Get the Renegade, your Renegades you're going on. You must know. You must have that memorized from all the videos you watch. Yeah?
Yeah.
I'll get you in there doing, well, yeah.
All right.
I was going to say I could creep her page, but you probably know all the dances anyway.
Oh, yeah, so I'll show you.
Yeah, you just show me what she's up to later.
I got a folder.
Yeah, what's hot and spicy lately in the TikTok world? Quads all over it.
I've been watching a lot of Lego TikToks, actually. Found Lego TikTok.
Can I give one TikTok account a shout out then?
Sure.
It's called Roll for Sandwich. Have you seen this guy?
No, never.
Okay, so it's like Dungeons & Dragons style dice, and he has this list. And it's like, he has different numbered die, right? Like there is in Dungeons & Dragons, D&D for people who know it.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's got 1 to 6. So he rolls his 1 to 6, and that's which bread he chooses. And then the next one's for meat, and it's like a 20-sided die. He rolls it. That's the meat that he chooses. Then there's one for roughage, and he rolls 2, and it'll be like banana peppers and pickles or something, and that's mixed. And he rolls for sauce, and then he rolls for like a special one. And it's so many options. Then the sandwich comes together from what you rolled. And it's, Roll for Sandwich. Just started up season 2.
That's pretty cool. Are they ever any good or do they look gross?
Some of them are really bad because he's got like, some of the sauces are like peanut butter and you'll be making like a salami, banana pepper, and then it's like, boom, peanut butter. Like the sauce normally ruins it pretty bad sometimes. And he got some weird stuff on there for Roll for Sandwich. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, he posts a TikTok.
That's a really cool TikTok.
It's a cool TikTok. I like it.
Also, while you're there, follow CanucksArmy.com.
Oh, I think you say Addison Rae.
No.
Tell her Quad sent you.
Yeah, tell her Quad sent you. Okay.
All right, we're done. We'll I gotta go film.
Get out of here. Again, for my co-host Chris Faber, to our friends at Montana's, thanks for hosting. Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, folks. We appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The playoffs are near and we have an army. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Vancouver's playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup. Shop the exclusive We Have an Army playoff tee and more at nationgear.ca.